Good morning. How are you? Saturday, August 15th. It's good to be alive. My name's Tom. I'm an alcoholic. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I hope everybody is doing great. Check out all our podcasts at the socialpodcastnetwork.com. Give these guys a chance. Let them show what they can do. So it is Saturday. I hope everybody's having a great morning so far. It is a little early. It's 8:30, I think. 8:15. For what a wild week for me. What a wild week. You know, I love one of the cool things about like the 12-step program or AA or whatever is that they have a lot of great sayings. And this too shall pass is always one that sets up for me. Wait a minute. I have another dumb thought probably. This week was really a tough week for me. I think it's a tough week for everybody right now. Yesterday, my buddy Matt, who passed away 6 years ago, he died in India. And it's always been like kind of, I know we picked a day, I can't even remember the day, I think it was yesterday, I think maybe that yesterday was the official day, but it was like this weird, you know, the time difference and then the lack of the inability to communicate from India back and forth to Rehoboth and stuff. It was a, it was weird, so it's always been kind of hard to figure out to know the exact day he died. I know it was this week. It wasn't like on my mind. I mean, it's been 6 years, right? And, but just this weird, and I don't even know, is it possible to have like a weird week because somebody passed away? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, right? Pandemic, protests, just the change in our daily lives. All this stuff has changed, and that I can see creating trouble. But just the anniversary of somebody's passing. I don't know. He used to say something to me, and I've told this to other people, and they've thought that was a little harsh. But he used to say that you should get 3 days to grieve when somebody dies. Everything after that, you're making it about you. I don't know. I mean, I get that. But I've heard people say, oh, you should get more than 3 days. Oh. I can't explain. Can't quite put my finger on the difference. Said everything, our words only betrayed us. Nothing is left, nothing was left unsaid.
I ask for a minute to make.
You know, that's a that's a great song, Time by Creed. You know, it's that used to be like one of the biggest things for me about getting sober was learning all this like back end shit, like, you know, how much I try to make stuff about me, how much life has been about me, how I've always done it and not really recognize it. And it wasn't until getting sober and, you know, having a relationship with my buddy Matt and having other people in my life that are sober. But it's like, I remember I was talking to, and it's always these embarrassing moments, right? It's this shame and guilt, right? Show up again. I remember standing out in front of we were going to a meeting, and Matt was like, "Why don't you guys come over on Friday? I'll cook you guys dinner and we'll hang out." And I go, "I can't go. I'm going to have to work," or I was doing something. And he said, he's like, "Oh, I guess we'll have to cancel the dinner," or something kind of smart, but basically saying, "Oh, I guess," it sounded like, I guess, coming out of my mouth, that I won't be able to make it, so we're not going to be able to do that day. Maybe it did. I don't even know. But I remember the response was basically that passive-aggressive, "This isn't all about you" kind of answer. And I remember one of those moments where I felt about an inch tall. I was like, Jesus, am I that self-centered? I remember this guy Doug D., he's passed away. We had bought, he was a real estate agent here in town, and we had purchased a lot, and we built a house on it. And I remember, and he ended up getting cancer, and he was really sick. And I'm like, "Doug, you should come by and check out the house where we put it on the lot." And he looks at me, and he goes, "I don't give a fuck about your house. I'm dying of cancer." And I was like, "Oh, sorry." I mean, why not invite him, right? Why not come check out the house? I mean, I do get it. It's always been a tough part about being sober and having serenity and, you know, living this kind of life, is it's very stale, so to speak. You know, it's hard to have fun. You know, you can't be sarcastic because the Greek term for sarcasm or something like that is the tearing of flesh. You know, I told you about the time my buddy Scott, he stayed late at a meeting and I'd given him a ride. I'm sitting in the car waiting, twiddling my fucking thumbs, and he comes bebopping into my car like a half hour after the meeting's over. I'm like, "Dude, somebody was a chatty Cathy." And he goes, "That hurt my feelings." I was like, "What? What the fuck are feelings?" Felt about an inch tall again. I wish I had these like little 1-inch characters of me, you know. This is me when, you know, Matt said, "Stop trying to make it about me." This is me when Scott said, I called him a chatty Cathy. I remember early on in sobriety, and I was talking to my buddy Scott. He was great at always pointing out my fucking defects, right? And I was saying, I don't know, but I ended up saying, using the term "not no." That's not no party. I don't know. I forget what it was, but I remember I said "not no." And he looked at me with these condescending eyes, these better than me, that better than me face, and said, "Not no?" I was like, "Ooh, geez." Another little 1-inch character of me on the desk, you know. But those are those moments where, you know, now it's like being in war and being told that field is full of landmines, and you already blew your leg off once. Sometimes I would skip the whole field altogether. You know, I'm not showing up. I won't have a conversation with that person. I'm not even going into that field. I'm not losing a limb on this one. You know, it's when I go, texting me. Don't text me. What time is it? It's 8:20 on Saturday. What are you texting me about? But yeah, it's like you're learning about these landmine fields, and you know, sometimes I'm not the most educated person. So I'll say things that are really pretty bad, like not know. And when it gets pointed out, I feel so bad. Sometimes I won't even talk. Like, fuck it, I ain't even talking now. That just speaking is a huge landfill, a landmine field, right? I mean, I don't even want to open my mouth, especially in the beginning. You know, learning that I make things about me, learning that I think I'm still a victim, learning that I have zero accountability, learning that, you know, I steal the Wawa packets, the Wawa sugar packets, you know, all these things. And, you know, yesterday, like I said, I always know it's this week that Matt died. But my buddy James, he posted something on it, you know, basically saying, hey, you know, 6 years ago today, we lost you. And so I'm assuming that the 14th, August 14th was his, and I think that's right, was the official day that he passed away. And then I'm like, I want to write something, you know. It sucks when a friend like that, a guy like that, somebody so big in your life like that dies. It's only happened to me once. It's only happened to me once, and I've lost a lot of friends, but nothing, you know, that space and time where that dips, man. And it's just, when he passed, it was a big dip. And 6 years later, you know, I wanted to go on my Facebook, and I wanted to share a picture that I have. You know, I have a picture of him above my station in the salon. You know, I have my kids, I have my wife, and I have a picture of Matt. I don't ever want to forget him, and I don't want anybody else to forget him. But how much of that is me making that about me? You know, if I told Matt, yeah, I'm going to write a thing on Facebook, and I had written something on Facebook 2 years ago, you know, talking about that, you know, turning my will and life over to a higher power. You know, I'd written something about that 2 years ago. If Matt was to see, if I'd been like, yeah, I'm right. If Matt sat down, it's like, what's up, man? And I'm like, I'm writing a thing about you 6 years later because I don't want anybody to forget. He'd probably say, Tom, you're probably trying to make that about you. You're making it about you. I'm dead. I'm gone. Let it go. But when I start wanting to write things about Matt, it starts to make me feel good. I want people to recognize it, right? But then at the same time, like, well, okay, fine. If I'm making it about me, God damn it, fine. But what about Matt? What about fucking, I don't want people to forget him. Nobody's forgetting Matt. Nobody's forgetting Matt. It's just that we move on. I was thinking yesterday, I'm blow drying this lady's hair and I'm looking up at Matt's picture and I'm thinking of this great, like, fucking eulogy I'm going to write about Matt, you know, resurrecting him right out of the ground. Explaining what an amazing guy he was and how much he helped me. My life wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that, him. Part of me still believes that. I don't, you know, I don't deny that. I would not be here talking on this microphone about this shit if it wasn't for Matt. I mean, even when I was, you know, I had, you know, I look back at that first 5 years of sobriety, what a fucking disaster that was. I don't even think I was even sober. I mean, I wasn't drinking, but I was definitely taking pills as of 99. Fucking just a mess, right? And finally losing everything, wife left, took the child, you know, finally, you know, got up to York, Pennsylvania, finally got into that, like, 10-day rehab. I remember the lady saying on my ninth day when I was leaving, she goes, I still think you're full of shit. Absolutely right. Coming out of there, doing, you know, checking... I had no map, but grabbing hold of him and saying, asking for to be a sponsor, understanding that I only wanted him to be my sponsor so that I could be recognized that I knew Matt. And it wouldn't be till 2 years after that when I was fucking taking pills and fucking being an asshole and And him finally telling me, listen, you're going to have to change your sobriety date. 2 years. I'd done five, sort of. Two more. That's a lot of damn fucking coins to throw to the side, right? But he's like, dude, if you really want to be sober, you're going to have to let these, you got to start over. I wouldn't have done it if he hadn't have said it. I wouldn't have done it. You think it's important to have, like, somebody to look up to when you're getting sober? I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? I love this guy. He's fucking so cool, man. I just want to be part of his, like, little world. And then he, you know, he's like, hey, man, you're full of shit. Why don't you beat sand or something? Take a hike. And all of a sudden, you're like, fuck that. I'm drinking. If he doesn't want to be part of my life, I'm going to have a drink then. I mean, we set ourselves up like that. I'll show him. Bizarro. But I do miss Matt. And I am going to make it about me. Unfortunately. But I don't want anybody to forget that guy. You know? And the crazy thing about him, it's not like he was like some sort of fucking sobriety guru. I don't know. I don't know really what he was. He was just a guy, right? He still had his own demons, you know. We all still have our demons. Managing demons. It's almost like what it's become, just managing my demons. But, you know, one of the things about that lifestyle is that for me, you know, it's so, like I said, vanilla. You know, it's so in touch, so woke, right? You say this, oh, what was that about? Let's get to the root of that. Was this about me, making it about me, me being this? You're like, Jesus Christ, where's the fun in life anymore? And then I hang out with my buddy Carlos, who's just he didn't give a shit. He ain't a drunk. He ain't a drug addict. He's just a guy. A sarcastic dude who has a lot of fun at my expense. In the program, I'd be like, dude, what's that about, man? Were you picked on? I mean, you know, it'd be me analyzing him, trying to figure out his behavior because I don't like it. I said to myself early in that friendship, I said, I am not analyzing this guy. I'm just going to have fun. Having fun, being sarcastic, making shit about me, all the shit that I've been working on in AA, or not AA, just being sober. I kind of regress when it comes to Carlos because it's funny. I miss fun. I miss that stuff. You know, believe me, sobriety, I have a lot of fun. But there is something a little bit fun about having like a sarcastic relationship with a friend. You know, we've already said, you know, don't take it personally. Hey, nice to meet you. Let's be friends. Don't take it personally. And sometimes, you know, it's funny. Sometimes I do. I get a little hurt. But I remember, man, it's just for fun. And, you know, I pull it together. But there is something fun about having a sarcastic friendship. I told him, dude, I've been working 25 years to not be like this. And then I hang out with you, and I regress back to, like, eighth grade. Carlos is like a 50-year-old eighth grader. You know, one of those kind of friends you're like, you're on the phone with all the time. I mean, I talk to this guy all the time. FaceTime. Black Circle, Pearl Jam. We love these bands. We run together. We podcast together. We do a lot of shit together. He's like my new 50-year-old eighth grade friend. And so freaking funny. It's awesome. And we just harass each other to death and don't take it personally. And we still have a lot of fun. And I don't have to pick up over it. Oh, wow. I don't know. What's going on with you people? Is there anybody out there? I'm going to a meeting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In a building. This Wednesday, we are going to a meeting, and I told my wife, I might have already said this the other day, but we're going to a meeting. I found one that they're letting people in with masks, social distancing. But we are going. Told my son, you're babysitting. You're watching the kids. We're going to a meeting. I mean, I announced it 2 days ago. I don't want anything stopping me from getting to this meeting. As long as I've been without a meeting. I'm sober. But it's been tough. One of the things that, you know, Matt used to tell me. So, you know, fuck it. We'll talk about Matt some more. One of the things Matt used to tell me is like, if you have an issue, man, if you got a problem, share it with somebody. Talk about it. It will cut the problem in half. There's the problem, and then there's the part that I create. My mind problem. Mind crime, right? Operation Mind Crime. I don't know if anybody likes Queensryche, but fucking good band. But it's a mind crime. I mean, I get into a lot of mind crimes. It's crazy. Whatever problem you're going through, share it with somebody else. First of all, you put out the real story. Right? Like, you know, I didn't work enough this week. I didn't make enough money. You know, my mortgage is coming up. I'm afraid. There's the story, right? That's the story. That's the fact. Excuse me. That's my the facts. I didn't work enough. Usually because, and I'm making up this story, but this is the story. This is the facts, okay? I didn't work enough. Usually because I didn't feel like working. It's usually the problem when it comes to lack of work. I didn't feel like working. I'm sure we've all had it. But let's say I don't feel like working, and let's say I, you know, sometimes a client will call and say, oh, my God, I need to, can you squeeze me in for a call? I'm like, I can't, when I probably could, but I didn't. You're like, all right, thanks, click, and they hang up. You're like, shit, I didn't even put them on a different day. They're gone. They're on to another salon. Uh-oh. But let's say, you know, that happened. And then, you know, so I turned down work. So the story is I didn't work enough. I don't have enough money, and my mortgage is coming up. But, you know, like I said, it's usually my fault, right? But if I don't discuss this, if I don't say, oh, my God, man, listen, I fucking didn't work enough. I didn't make enough money, and now I'm going to be short on my mortgage. You know, someone could say, oh, my God, that's fucked up. You know, maybe you should try working more, right? I have the ability to fix this problem. But if I don't talk about it, then all of a sudden, you know, now I'm getting, there's going to be a foreclosure, and I'm getting kicked out. I'm never going to work again. You know, it's just all the shit that I create with this, with me. And it's not, half of it ain't true. That's why I said, share what you're worried about. If you're really stressing out about something, talk to somebody about it. Share what's going on. Right away, we'll get to the root of it. Usually cuts off half the fat, half the bullshit. You know, okay, this is really what's going on. And that's, you know, that's kind of what's been going on this week. You know, I've been feeling so bad. I announced I'm depressed. That's it. I'm depressed. It's official. And I started talking about it. And I luckily have, you know, being in the hair business, I have a client. I have an audience, you know, usually a new audience about every half hour to an hour and a half. Hey, welcome. How you doing? I'm depressed. Let's talk about it. And I've kind of been doing that all week. If any of my clients listen to this podcast, I apologize. I've been sharing my worries, my fears, been hashing it out, putting it on the line, hitting it with some sunshine, and I'm starting to feel better. Before, it was a justified reason to be depressed, all of the problems that were going on. But when I start talking about it and start understanding that we're all going through this, I'm not unique to this. I won't say a good friend. He's a good client, but he's very, you know, he plays a big role in the community. He's, you know, fucking filthy rich. I shouldn't say that. It doesn't really matter. But he definitely, he's a mover and a shaker in this town. He's definitely an older gentleman. And I was saying, you know, I go, I'm depressed. He goes, I am too. I am too. I am depressed. Here's me with my life. He's depressed, and he's got that life that we all want, you know, money and all this stuff. And he said the same thing. I'm depressed too. This is depressing. So somebody else is going through it too. So now I don't feel as bad about it. And I just start talking about it, and I just start sharing about it. People say, I think you're wrong on that part, or, you know, I agree. And we kind of work through the story together. And I just keep saying it, and I keep praying about it, and I keep turning it over. And I'm starting to feel a bit better. Time takes time. I love that. Time takes time. Isn't that so? I mean, duh. What? Really? Thank you. But it does. Time takes time, people. Take your time. One day at a time. I miss you, Matt. I'm still going to talk about you. I'm going to keep talking about you, and I'm never forgetting you, man, because you were fucking a huge help to me, and you saved my life, brother. And I don't care if it's about me or if it's not about me. All I know is that I miss you. We love you. And I'll talk about you from every day. I somehow seem to mention you or a story that you shared with me. And I owe everything to you, brother. And I hope you hear us, and I hope you're doing well up there. And I hope everyone's having a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
same old time. Time you're no friend of mine.
Have a great day.